The Trials of Apollo, The Tyrant's Tomb, Chapter 13. Romance Disaster. I'm poison for guys and gals. You want to hang out? Like chewing gum is a crime. Lavinia tossed a piece of her sandwich off the roof where it immediately was snatched up.
Hi, I'm Ava.
I'm Neve.
And I'm Brayden.
And this is Return to Camp Half-Blood, the English class that you always wanted.
Where we analyze the Percy Jackson and Heroes of Olympus books through a new theme every week.
Ava, Neve, how are we?
Pretty good. Doing okay. I need to clean my room, but that's kind of that thing that's on the forefront of my mind right now. But no, I'm doing pretty well. My show that I'm in is open for previews, and we actually have opening tomorrow, which is super weird because tomorrow for me is a Monday, or like for us, I guess. Which is like so weird that a show is opening on Monday and then taking like a 2 or 3 night break before continuing. I don't know, but it's really weird. Regardless, super excited. Our costumes are all like pink, so the rest of the understudies and I and our like director and our whole production team are all wearing pink. It's gonna be so much fun. I'm really excited just because it's a group of people that I really love working with, and yeah, it's just been a really lovely process, so that's bringing me a lot of joy. But I'm forcing myself to clean my room before then so I can have a joyful opening. But yeah, I'm kind of chilling. Got Domino's today, which I haven't done in so many months, and that was really exciting. Yeah. How about you, Neve? How are you?
I'm good. We had people visiting for the weekend, which was great, and I went to work today and did a run of the show, which was really weird when rehearsal is just like doing a run, because
yeah,
it used to be like 4 hours of rehearsal each day, and now it's like we just show up for the two, call it, and then the next and just get the notes sent to our inbox, which is crazy. But it's going good. I'm really excited about it. It's coming up so much faster than I can even fathom. I am very excited because we get into the space on tech, like for the first day of tech week, but the space is a considerably farther distance from our apartment than the rehearsal space is. So that should be a fun adjustment. Like it requires like a train transfer. Two different utilization of both of the subways that exist in this city, because there's only two. But that will definitely be a change when it used to be like, oh, I just hop on the bus for 20 and then I'm at rehearsal. Now it's like gonna set aside like 50 minutes to have to get down there. But that's okay.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. Apparently it's worse to drive. It's like a nightmare to park down there, so I'm glad I don't have to do that. How are you, Brayden?
I can leave that.
Okay. Had I begun my journey out of vegetarianism last week?
I don't think so.
I'm not a vegetarian.
I don't think. Wait. No. Wow. Wait, where are you sitting now?
I'm eating everything. But
what I think? Okay.
I've not added red meat anymore. I am back to fish and poultry.
Word. Fish rock, my friend.
Yeah, I'm real happy to be here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still pescatarian, but I love the smell of chicken, so.
So always have to smell.
Yes, real. Needless to say.
You're just so chicken nugget coated, too.
Fun fact. One of my frequent purchases when I feel I have enough funds to do so is the Impossible Nuggets. Because they're a great like pre-rehearsal quick dinner. Dip them in some ranch, put some seasoned salt on them. So you're not wrong. I actually just gave you my nugget routine.
I'm glad to know your nugget routine. Thank you for letting us all in on that.
No, literally.
It's very personal.
I'm telling you that right now.
Yeah.
Bearing your soul out here.
Yes, that's my big thing. Big news, big changes, big moving and shaking. I guess just with that. Everything else is just pretty normal. Just kind of working. Yeah, you know. Okay. I had a little bit of time off this week. I had friends in the city. Just lovely. So happy to see them. Also glad they're gone. Just in way of like, I see a lot less people for a lot less of my day than I used to. Like, I'm alone a lot more.
Yeah.
Since graduating college.
Yeah.
And I've grown accustomed to having that much alone time. So it was weird to not be alone for 3 days. There's some bad. I still left alone. Oh,
no, wild, wild.
But we chilling. Welcome back to Return to Camp Half-Blood. This week we'll be discussing the Tyrant's Tomb, chapters 13 through 16, through the theme of youth. Neve, I believe this is a very special week for you. A special, special week in which in 30 seconds, you will tell us what happened in these chapters. Are you ready?
I've already forgotten everything.
Sounds like you're not ready, but you're going to go anyways. Go.
Okay, so they're getting ready to go on the quest, and Hazel's a little scared about Frank being a little crazy and reckless, especially after Jason. And we see the Sybil and her origin story, and then we are headed to the carousel at night so we don't hurt any kids. And there's guards in there. They get past the guards, and then they're standing outside, and they're eavesdropping, and then it's like, ooh, they've been caught. And then it's the end.
Yeah.
Right? I'm solid. I don't know if you said Tarkin's name at all, but, like, good. Like, good work.
Oh, well, you know, we're there.
Yeah.
We're at Tarkin's tomb.
It is a tomb.
I just said carousel, but you got the rhymes.
I got them. Yeah.
There was for sure a carousel, you know?
Yeah, no.
Don't disagree with that at all.
Right. I don't know why my brain was like, you need to include the detail that they... I think it was because it struck me as kind of funny that, like, they picked the carousel as this place for this incredibly dangerous location. And then we can't go during the day because we don't want to blow up any games. I was like, so true. I didn't realize...
Every suite.
I didn't realize this was a functioning carousel.
Yeah.
That, like, ran during the day, you know?
It's just, like, very sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
That's very nice of them. Very considerate.
Yeah, true.
Bars on the floor. I mean, like, they are kids, so, like, they would know.
They would know. Personally, as I'm not a kid... I maybe wouldn't have thought about it.
I'm admitting a potential flaw here.
Like, it really might not have been a concern for me. I may have just let the kids die.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to think I'm better than that. But I say I am.
You're right. First. Anyway.
I just wouldn't know. I'm not in the situation. I can sympathize, but I cannot empathize.
Exactly. There you go. Come on, vocab.
What songs did you bring this week to put on a playlist?
I'm feeling silly. And so I picked a song based off of the fact that he's pretty much just a skeleton held together by purple plasma.
Ugh, mood.
Right. And so
I'm literally just a skeleton held together by purple plasma.
Okay, put it on a bumper sticker and also a t-shirt. And also, I'm going to put it on a bumper sticker. Like I just said, because already, guys, I'm finally going to launch this bumper sticker Redbubble store that I said I was going to launch last month.
Incredible.
My heart and listeners
are in books.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Now I really have to do it because I'm promising all these people that I'm going to. Anyway, I chose Flesh and Bone by Sammy Ray because I thought it was funny. I also just...
That is funny.
Like, I love that Fleepy, and I love her, and yeah.
I think it's also really good for the Sybil, like, thematically.
Yeah, I do agree.
I was really hoping to be able to do this. You've heard me gasp earlier when I decided what I was going to do. I did decide that I really wanted to try to get a song off of Jennifer Lopez's new album, This Is Me Now. And I chose Broken Like Me because I think it felt very emblematic of what's going on with Hazel and Frank.
Period. Actually, very, very well fit. Yeah. My song, okay, this is one of the songs that's on my playlist called This Is a Banger, But It Plays at Work, which is the playlist at my job, like, kind of goes hard. Like, some of the songs in it are really good, but I can never listen to them, like, in my daily life because they play at work. Like, I hear them in my daily life all the time, so I can't, like, listen to them on my commute or something because I thought I would get really sick of them because mm-hmm. they're on the playlist at work all the time. This is one of them. When I, like, did, like, looked up this song, I literally had to Google to make sure that this was the right artist. It's called Ready to Go by Noah Cyrus. I literally Googled. I was like, is this, like, the Noah Cyrus, like, Miley Cyrus's sister? Because I wasn't sure. Because mm-hmm. I thought her music was so much different than this.
I ain't never listened.
Wait. No.
Is this the first time you're hearing about Noah Cyrus?
I haven't looked into this person.
You thought it was her brother.
But this is time number three that this has happened to me.
Okay, well, to be fair, this is no Michael Jackson.
Not at all. Or no,
it's never been Michael Jackson.
Oh, Jackie Chan.
Michael is my tradition.
Why the name? It's never been Michael.
Why did I think it was Michael?
I know, it's right. Clap back. Oh, let me give you my list. Jackie Chan thought was a woman. Steph Curry thought was a woman. Now, Noah Cyrus, a man.
Third time's the charm, I guess. Third time's gender, I guess.
Yeah, well.
Whoops.
What song?
You heard it here first. Sorry. It's called Ready to Go. It's beautiful. Like, honestly, a banger. I think I have to listen to the rest of her album just because this was so, like, it's just such a, like, good bluegrass song. I just did not know she made that kind of music.
Yeah, I love
it. But it's, I felt like the lyrics were good for the civil origin story that we were given.
Nice.
Yeah.
But one of our favorite moments of these chapters, I just really liked us shouting out the hippocampus. Like, we got a rainbow shout out.
Yeah.
In the carousel. And I thought that was fun. It was terrifying that all their faces were, like, plastered in fear, but
hey.
Okay.
I won't yuck your yum.
Yeah. I honestly, this is a weird favorite moment, but the way they figured out how to get into the carousel, I was like, why is this, like, a fun little, I thought that was just a well-written part of the chapters. I don't know. Of them trying to debate, like, how the numbers were
situated, yeah,
like, why they met, like, how each person contributed to, like, this is how we're figuring it out. I was like, oh, I don't know why this is just interestingly written.
Yeah, it was like, just like a real, real cool mystery with a little bit of education.
Yeah.
We love when Rick does that. These days, I hardly be learning something. Like, we are always learning lessons.
Yes.
But I bet, like, the conceit of this podcast is that we find a theme and we see it by the lessons in the chapters. But I'm very rarely, like, learning new information.
Yeah.
But, like, I actually didn't know that that's how, like, that's what the Romans dating system was.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I figured it was something, like, similar, but, like, I've never heard, like, the term before.
Yeah.
I like any chapter that includes the era of Dodona. And so I really enjoyed chapter 14 because the era of Dodona... Hello, I glitched. The Arrow of Dodona is
the Era of Dodona. What we will call when the Arrow of Dodona wins a category in the Percy Jackson Awards on April 3rd.
True. Mark your calendars. I just feel like I always love seeing her.
I like seeing the arrow.
They, them.
Sure. Yes. I didn't know if anything was canon.
I think it's canonically he, him.
Well, fuck that. So, no, I'm kidding.
He, they of the day, arrow of Dodona.
Okay, work.
But you were non-binarying the arrow of Dodona.
So, you had non-binaried your arrow of Dodona.
Yeah, but just always enjoy seeing Miss Arrow. And I don't know. I just think they keep getting spear. And I love it. I love the progression. B plot of the, actually like Z plot of the century, but I'm enjoying it.
It might be E, girl. But that's okay. I forgot to mention this, but I am in my summary, but I am glad that we finally got a brief but more in-depth description of what the fuck's going on with Reyna and Apollo. I needed to know.
We've been teasing that out for a while, and it like felt like we were talking about it in a way like this, like, did I miss something?
Literally, I was like, did I forget to read like a paragraph where like we explained why Apollo has a weird thing with Reyna? But now we finally got a little bit more description of like what the fuck was going on there.
No, because it was like, you know, fair. A lot of Blood of Olympus goes in one ear out the other.
Like, we got a description and forgot. That's still kind of a possibility.
Yeah.
But
I think that about a lot of things.
Yeah. I think that Rick is actually very good at like dropping like really subtle foreshadowing. Now, I don't even know if it's intentional foreshadowing, but I think he's good at leaving little nuggets of information here and there that like would always be picked up on later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of his particular strengths as a writer, especially of series. So in like the world of the Riordanverse that he's created here, even in the way that like other books interact with each other, and with that, which is not really something that comes up on this podcast a lot, but like even like these threads are like pulled into like the Crane Chronicles and Magnus Chase and like those books. All of these books feel like they're still in the same world, because I think there's a real nice quality that Rick includes of consistency and continuity with very, very small details.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about the theme of youth. Hey, all right, we're back. Youth.
You just upset me a lot.
Drop off.
Yeah.
I didn't.
What do we have to say? I mean, like, we gotta start with the fucked up situation between Apollo and the Sibyl.
That was so scary. I was embarrassed for both of them. I literally was like,
the idea of that punishment is so terrifying. Like, so terrifying. And like, in the moment, it seemed so girl boss of her, you know, to be like, fine, you think that you want to be with me, then give me as much time as the greens of these. Like, that seemed like such a, like, you won't do it, bitch, sort of move. And it was, like, so smart until it was hit with the most horrible comeback.
It was a real Celtic mythology level.
Exactly. That is the exact right thing to compare it to. Like, it is, because
you're like, oh, wow, this is dark.
Morbid and terrifying.
I don't know if any of our listeners, likely our listeners more than the general public, know that much about Celtic mythology. Most of it is sad. Like,
terrifying.
It's mostly not like, and these people died or they didn't die, but everyone around them died.
No, it has,
and you know, it's all about death. Because you know what? Yeah. There was a lot of, they were dying a lot, to be fair.
Irish folklore thought a lot about like the passing of time and like how much, like, and aging and like the and what would happen and the consequences of like wishing that you weren't going to age or wishing that like I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the podcast, but they're my most of my family's from Ireland on my dad's side, so they got us like Irish folklore books to like read as kids, and they're like literally branded as children's books, like they have pictures and they're like written for kids, but they're just mortifyingly like scary and sad most of the time. Like there's one that has a queen dies and she has three kids, and the king gets remarried to an evil witch, and that like an evil stepmother sort of character, and that stepmother is like, I don't like these kids, they take money and attention away from me, so you're all gonna be geese for 600 years. And I remember my sister and I were like, oh my god. And they're like, isn't even immoral. And that's what also is coming across in these chapters too, is that like there isn't even really like a moral
judgment. I mean, I think it's a moral judgment on Apollo.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Apollo wasn't punished.
Yes, yeah.
So there's like no, like the person who is punished has, or with this horrible curse, has no
I guess,
moral.
I guess beyond I would argue that this chapter does have the like careful what you wish for thing.
Yes, for sure.
Just that's boring. Like this was interesting separately, but like as a moral of the story, I'm glad that that's not why we're hearing it. Because like, okay, be careful what you wish for. I get it. Be careful what you wish for, I feel like, is a weaponized term that like is like you don't want for anything. Like you shouldn't have ambitions. Like everything is bad. And like, yeah, true. But let's like be a little more optimistic about it.
No, completely. The geese Irish story has no, they are literally just kids who get a stepmom.
Well,
and then
they're also geese.
They're geese for 600 years. And it's literally the most horrifying story. And we talk about to our parents all the time, like, why'd you read us that? And they were like, well, it was in the book. I guess maybe the moral of that is don't get divorced, which is a very Irish moral.
Yeah.
Or don't get remarried. You are wedded.
Yeah.
Don't have
a... Oh my God. Guys, speaking of, real quick, I'll get right on topic, guys. But there's this Dick thrift store, like, right near my apartment. And the other day, I was there looking for... What was I looking for? Don't remember. Doesn't matter. And I found this pink crew neck sweatshirt that says Irish Princess on it. And it was $1. And so I bought it. And I need to wash it.
Yeah, as you
ask. Guys, I'm so excited to show you. I'm so excited to show you. yeah. So I wanted to put that. But also, that reminded me of kind of like another similarity I saw between this little Sybil incident and like Celtic mythology. Like I read a lot of it for a class I took like last spring, but specifically a lot about like fairies and like how fucked up and dangerous they are, and how like
they will ruin your life.
And that's kind of the thing, is like I think Greek mythology treats the supernatural kind of like, oh, we'll keep your friends close, but you know, like not everything's gonna kill you, but some things will. In Celtic folklore, it's kind of like everything will fucking kill you. Like if you fuck with anything supernatural, it will bite you in the ass 10 times as hard. And like that's the energy that the Sybil was bringing, you know?
Yeah.
It is like the Greek mythology exists on the conceit of like respect the gods because this is what they could do to you. So you, like there is a lot to be achieved in worshiping the gods, but like don't wrong them because you will be punished, kind of thing. And like it teaches you hospitality and like these virtues that were really valued at the time in the culture. And Celtic mythology just is kind of, because it has existed in a culture that was a lot more, where survival was really the main concern for a lot of it, they're like, don't fuck with shit. Shit will fuck with you, don't fuck with it. You see something, walk away.
Yeah, you see something. Yeah.
Mind your fucking business and
yeah.
You're clear of anything weird. Yeah. You will die.
And sometimes it's not even weird. Like, there was one that, like, a family built their house on a plot of land that actually...
I know this one!
Yeah, no. Fucking fairy mounds.
The fairy just kept burning it to the ground and, like, destroying it, but no one ever let the family know, like, it's the plot of land. It's not a bunch of freak accidents. Like, you gotta get off that land. So they just kept rebuilding it, and the fairy was like, fuck you, not again. And I was like, that is it. They didn't know where you're going.
Yeah. But, and the thing is, like, if your house burns down once, I don't feel like good practice.
It's time to get
go to a different place.
Yeah, it's time to get out of there. It's trouble with all these.
But then there are those people. I've met and worked with someone whose house has burnt down twice, two different houses.
Whoa.
But that's not everyone.
Well.
They're like.
Crazy that it's someone.
Well, to me, that feels like a lack of fire safety.
And if we're talking about fire safety, let's talk about Frank Zhang. Because, yes. Beautiful segue, thank you. Because I actually have a lot to say in terms of, like, all right, well, it's not even a lot. It's just I have a lot of feelings about this. The fact that he's had to, I mean, to an extent, I think most like Greek or Roman demigods, like, have to comprehend mortality in a way that none of us will ever fully understand, like, being the age we are right now. But they've had to do that so quickly and in, like, their first, like, 15-ish years of life. But Frank's is kind of an added pressure of, like, he has to understand that, like, he's carrying his life force with him constantly. And he's learned to just kind of say, fuck it. And, like, I think that's A, very impressive, and B, a little sad. But just because I think about all that he's gone through emotionally to probably get to that point of being, like, slightly carefree. I don't know. I just feel like that totally, you know, washes out any attempt at, like, enjoying his youth.
Yeah.
I mean, like, this guy is blue, but, like, had to say it. You know,
I mean, I would say that, like, it feels like a I'm going to be young forever, but, like, I'm going to live while I'm young because
right.
I'm not going to have much past being young. And so I'm kind of just going to throw it all to the wind because, like, it just feels very midlife crisis-y.
Yeah. Yeah,
so he's
gonna
not
buy a Ferrari.
Dead, but he's just so he's grown accustomed to the idea that he's going to have a shorter life than expected. So that like fucks with your perception of where you are at in life.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love him, love Hazel. I think they're too codependent.
We are big codependency vibes in these chapters.
Lavinia being a hater, I was like, good for you, queen. Like, no, don't get me wrong. I love Frank and Hazel a lot, but I do agree with what you guys have said. And I think Lavinia was a little fierce for pointing it out.
Yeah, it's very sweet how concerned they are for each other. And yet I am wary in the way I'm like, well, like, you guys are living as, like, people who die early. Like, there's just, like, that this is the situation you're in. It, like, is just a known risk every day. And, like, I'm not saying that they should just grow accustomed to it because they're kids and they shouldn't be faced with this. And yet I'm like, okay, anything you do ever is putting you so close to being killed. We're, like, worrying too much about each other in this.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's, like, it's not productive to spend that much time worrying about someone else.
Yeah, it's sort of odd because they've spent so much time, like, training their brains to not worry about themselves in that way, but somehow, like, they still have the instinct when it comes to someone else.
Yeah, they both very much have a lack of regard for their own safety. I mean, like, clearly Frank does, but I do feel that from Hazel too. But there's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
For others, that I think, yeah, when you're so focused on helping everyone around you, you kind of have to let go of a little bit of the care of yourself.
Yeah.
True.
and nothing to add. Just true.
Any more thoughts about youth?
Stream two songs. One Direction's Live While We're Young and Kesha's Die Young. But not that other song, If I Die Young, that I couldn't ever listen to when I was young because it always made me cry. So stream those first two.
Don't Cry Sing Song.
Killer. Oh my God, so sad.
The band Perry.
Yeah, I figured. Too close to my last name for
Who knows what happened to them? No, they're still around. They make like weird music now.
Yeah.
What a genre shift.
Just like Duran Duran. Have you guys listened to Duran Duran's newer stuff? It's really weird. With love.
No, I haven't. I've only listened to classic Duran Duran. I also like bands in particular, no one wants you to change your sound. You know?
Right.
But like, it's like we don't need it. We don't need eras for bands. I don't know. It feels different to me.
Paramore did it well.
Paramore did it well. Yeah, you're right. But like, I like really appreciate that Green Day isn't doing that.
they're
not agreed.
Yeah, like that latest album was so good, and it sounded exactly like anything we haven't put out. I think that's perfect.
Yeah,
love to see. That's what I'm looking for. We love to see it. Individual artists, I just feel like are for eras, you know.
Yeah.
Bands are for pumping out the same song over and over again. with variations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you're like a, I like an asterisk for like girly pop bands. You know what I'm saying? Like a Muna.
The girly pop band. Oh, boys. Yeah. No. Girly like, space pop.
Yes. I meant it was a one word. It was like a like girly pop. Like, they're bands, but they're like making like, I guess Boy Genius is a bag, but like Muna, like that Muna type band that's like making dance music anyway. Like, you can do an era because you're like, you're kind of just like multiple solo artists in one person. It just like has a different kind of vibe.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love Muna, the Aces, that kind of, space. And I in my head, they're in the same category as like a pop girl. And not, I guess in my head, mostly bands are like rock and rock adjacent is like really where bands live in my head, even though bands could be any genre.
So. I agree with you. Most bands I listen to are like rock.
Yeah. This had nothing to do with anything, but it was a lovely conversation.
Yeah.
But what SAS moments did we bring this week?
I feel like we could say that about so much of what we do here.
You know?
I love that on a t-shirt.
It's just like really in particular had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Mine is a Lavinia moment. Of course, she's so money. Which is when Hazel is talking about her codependency, saying, "We helped each other through some dark times, talking together, learning to be happy again. He makes me feel loved," I suggested. Lavinia met my eyes and mouthed, "Adorable." So, I don't know why that made me laugh so hard. I was like, okay, Lavinia. She said, "Adorable." Aww.
Like, we could have been friends.
Yeah.
I love.
Love the snark. Love the snark. Big fan.
Yeah. Era of Dodona, of course. Very into pretty much all of their contributions, but I'll choose this one. "Fight not the king," said the arrow. "Hearest thou what thou needest and skedaddleth." Did you just use the term skedaddleth? "I try to speak plainly to thee, to thee a boon, and still thou complainest." Awesome.
I'm always a big fan of everything the heir of Dodona says. I just liked that words are true, but in one sense, meanest thou? I don't know. That one hit for me for some reason.
No, I liked it because you were literally just like, what do you mean?
Because it was also, I forgot to say the intro, which was, I need help.
Could not be more clear.
Yeah. Loved. Love, love, love. Love, 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 love. Big fan of her.
I just really love the
thing.
No, that I was about to say, I really love the decision made today. Fuck you, I'm non-binary.
This is a message for Robert. Please make that meme for us. Fuck you, non-binary is your arrow of Dodona. We need it. Robert, please.
A call to action.
We know you.
All right. What characters do we want to give our offering to this week? Mine's going to the Sybil. Girl.
Diva down.
Diva down.
I was going to give mine to Hazel, but the Sybil also. We'll see her again, Hazel.
Yeah. Fuck. Okay, I have so many options. I'm choosing between Hazel and two for the Sybil is great. So I'll leave it at that. But I'm choosing between the Sybil, Raina, and Noah Cyrus.
That's funny.
All three of them have excellent justifications.
That's the thing, and I don't know which route to go. I mean, we will see Hazel again, and like, we're gonna give her plenty of offerings in the future. So I'll split it between Raina and Noah Cyrus.
Love.
Good for Noah Cyrus.
Yeah.
And who do you want to vote off? Right off the bat, I'm going to Apollo. That was rough, buddy.
That was fucked.
I'll agree with that, Apollo. Yeah, get out of there.
Yeah, I'll do three for this one. This punishment horrified me so bad. I literally could not imagine.
Yeah, this was not it, dog.
This is not it, big dog. My friend, totally also random. My friend was like, yeah, I was walking through, or no, I think she was literally at work. And some guy was like, excuse me, big dog. And she was like, big dog? Like, hey, more dog? Like, why big dog? I don't know. I think it's funny. I think we all need to start saying big dog.
Revitalization of big dog.
Yeah.
Well, big dogs. That's all. Sweet. Join us next week where we'll be discussing
chapter 17 through 20.
Make sure to follow us on social media. We are at Return to Camp on every platform that matters, and we also have a Ko-fi account and a Redbubble store and a website, www.returntocamp.com, where if you put /vote at the end of that, you can vote in the Percy Jackson Awards.
She Good. Said
no or not. It's fine. We'll just be sad.
We'll never get over it, but make your choice.
It may destroy my self-confidence forever.
Mine too. And we'll know who exactly it is that didn't vote.
We will know you're responsible.
We'll know. Yeah.
We'll know. Just know. We know.
We'll know. Do you want to disappoint all three of us at once? Okay, I got too serious with it.
Don't worry. It's okay.